living legends of the equestrian world. And that was Warwick Schiller, who came over from California, Brett Parbury, who was the dressage demonstration. I was one of the people who rode for Brett.
She knows where she stands with the nutrition now from our guidance. And in dressage, it's still very taxing for the horse's body.
It's great. Like, you don't have to spend lots and lots of money just to keep your horse fed.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 110 of the Send Nutrition Podcast. You're with your host, Brian and Magellan, today. And today we have a very special guest, and this could be our, well, it is our youngest guest on the podcast, and it is Bridget Delmo, who recently competed in the Australian Youth Dressage Championships with her warm blood Jimmy, and she won the overall champion of the FEI Young Riders class. And this is a huge achievement, and we wanted to get Bridget onto our podcast because she is actually a SEN ambassador as well, and she has a really interesting story to tell about how she found SEN and then all her achievements so far as a young rider. So firstly, how are you, Magellan?
I'm back in the podcast room. I have my microphone back from Peter, Brian. It's a good afternoon.
Did you wrestle it back off him?
I got the elbows out at the doorway.
But Jill, you've been working with Bridget with her diets, and it was only fitting to have you on this podcast to really deep dive with Bridget, being only 17 years old, but achieving so much in the horse world. We're so excited to have you on. Bridget, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for making your way to SEN HQ today. And I think firstly, we'll just start congratulating you on that youth dressage competition result. And if you want to just let the listeners know, just firstly, the details of the achievement or the competition result.
Yeah, so the FEI Young Rider class is at pre-St. George level. And I've only had Jimmy since the beginning of the year, so we're still quite a new partnership. But yeah, it was down in Sydney, so it was a week travelling down to Sydney and then competing and coming back. And yeah, so still being a very new partnership, we're still trying to figure everything out. So it was really cool to have that win together. Yeah, so they have the team test, the individual test, and that's the overall result for the Young Rider Champion class. Then they have the freestyle, which is my favourite part of dressage. It's so much fun.
That's fantastic. And were you nervous at all, or were you going down to Sydney to take it out? Like, what were your expectations?
Well, I'm a very competitive person, so of course I want to win, but it's still just about getting to know Jimmy and how we work together and, yeah, getting more experience at this level, because being a young rider, I haven't competed at a higher level than this. So just getting used to the tests and how the more intense level of dressage works together in the actual arena. And yeah, taking the training from home and putting it all together.
When I reached out to you, Bridget, and asked you and congratulated you on your results, I love that your response was, it was really fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah, I'm very lucky to enjoy the sport as much as I do, with a really fun horse and great team around me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so you said that you recently paired with Jimmy this year. Mm. When did you discover, say, our SEN feed range, or when did you reach out to Magellan?
So my mum helps me with the feeds a lot. She's over the nutrition and she's done a lot of that. And only recently, since starting on the SEN products, I've really started looking more and getting more information about it. And oh my God, there's so much to learn about horse nutrition and how it affects the horse and everything. So how we originally got into SEN, it was through my auntie, who also rides horses, and she said to my mum, she's like, oh my gosh, this feed, there's heart, you don't have to use, like, only a tiny quantity of it you need to use. And my mum's like, oh, that sounds great, like, you don't have to spend lots and lots of money just to keep your horse fed. And so yeah, then we moved over to SEN, and yeah, from there we just sort of realized what a great opportunity it is for have you guys look at the horses, and you can give professional opinions and advice on what we should be feeding. It's not just sort of like guessing around and what each horse should get, but yeah, because it's so vital for the high performance horses to be getting the best nutrition they can. So yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think our aim at SEN is to really try and simplify the way we feed horses, but feeding quality over quantity, as you just described then. And Magellan's a big part of this, as she does a lot of the diet consults every week, and they're pretty banked up at the moment because we're just inundated with, obviously, the success in other industries. But as Bridget said, she knows where she stands with the nutrition now from our guidance. And in dressage, it's still very taxing for the horse's body, the amount of stress they can go on through the performance, and we're there to try and support it in every way. So, Magellan, I think when you did originally look at Jimmy's diet, was there things that could have been improved? There would have been, I can imagine.
Yeah, so mainly the quantity that we were seeing. And just tracking back for a quick second, so we actually changed Jimmy's diet right in the middle of your competing as well, Bridget, which is massive. So, you know, changing a diet on a normal basis is stressful enough for the horse. Like, horses just don't, they don't change very well at all, unfortunately. But for him to still go and be competing and getting results and traveling midway through changing a diet is just, I find that the coolest bit about all of this.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I believe your previous diet was quite high in quantity, like we were feeding quite a lot of feed and still not quite seeing the results performance-wise and obviously condition-wise with Jimmy as well. And, you know, we're still getting to the pointy end, as you said, figuring out what works for him during his competition season as well. But yeah, he's, I mean, the results really speak for themselves. Like,
Bridget, have you noticed any changes with Jimmy since the switch to Sen?
His mental state has definitely been the biggest thing, because it's a lot for the horses on the travelling side of things when you're going to the shows. Like, it's 2-3 days of travel, and then they've got to stay in these boxes during the week and then travel back. And that's such a big change from their lifestyle, where they go out in the paddock during the day and things. And I found, like, when I first started taking Jimmy to the bigger shows, he was quite tense, like, on the ground, and he was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? But yeah, when he went on to the scent, he just seemed very, like, relaxed and very happy and just easy to handle sort of thing. And at home too, he's just happy. He's a happy horse, which you can tell just from the way he, like, just looks at the world pretty much. And not to say that he wasn't happy before changing to scent, but he just seems more relaxed and, yeah, just enjoying life.
That's fantastic feedback. Yeah. And It's music to our ears, because our nutrient profile is trying to help that whole digestive system, the hindgut health in particular. And there are so many signals that travel to the brain and back again. And that behavior coming through Jimmy is another piece of evidence that what we do at Sen is working. And Magellan, can you remember how much the volume was, or that he was being fed? Or
I think we were like up to 7-8 kilos a day. It was a lot of feed.
Much roughage, or?
Yeah, you guys have always been really good with your hay and the pasture and everything. So that the foundation of the diet originally, I think, and that's what's made this transition so easy, is that his foundation was so good. And then just fine-tuning the concentrates and the supplements. So, you know, using the extra balance when we do travel, just to keep that gut environment as happy as possible. And, you know, we're seeing Jimmy more focused and more calm. Like, Bridget, you took Jimmy to mastery of the horse as well. I can't imagine what that environment would have been like as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge environment for any horse. And I was lucky to be riding one that can cope with those big environments, which is really great for me too, to get used to riding in these bigger environments at this stage, because there's not many things in Australia like the mastery of the horse. Like, we don't really get those opportunities over here. And so to have a horse that I know is reliable to go into that big arena with the huge atmosphere and stay happy. Like, obviously he was like, oh my gosh, what's this? But he's rideable and happy, and I can still work with him on that level. It was an amazing experience. So, yeah.
Do you want to explain a little bit about what was your role in the mastery of the horse and the experience, and really what it is for our listeners who haven't heard of it or have heard of it and don't really know what it's about?
Yeah, so the mastery of the horse goes over 3 days, and it has – and Katrina Roundtree was hosting it.
Channel 7, yeah?
Yep.
Or Channel 9.
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. But okay, anyway. Yeah. I just remember her from Getaway when I was a young kid.
Yeah, that's – yeah.
I'm a little bit older.
Yeah, right.
So she was hosting, and there was five – which she described as living legends of the equestrian world. And that was Warwick Schiller, who came over from California, Brett Parbury, who was the dressage demonstration, and I was one of the people who rode for Brett. Clem Smith did the show jumping, Double Dan, Dan Steers, And there was Cody Harris, who who's worked in movies with horses, which is really interesting because you could see how everything he's done with the horse's mental state and things has to be carried through the whole process, who is also now, I believe, starting to get into dressage, which was interesting because he had a whole dressage perspective on that. But I was one of three demonstration riders for Brett, and he was looking for horses at different levels. So he had two younger ones and one that's a slightly bit more educated, and then Jimmy, who has not with me but has previously ridden to or trained to a higher level. So yeah, we went in there and into the – it was hosted at Outback Spectacular, so that was amazing to ride on a big red roof. Yeah, so it was a masterclass over 3 days, and each day the presenters did their own session. And yeah, I got to ride in the arena with Jimmy. And
how
it was
many
really
people?
Cool. Oh, there was a couple hundred, I think. This is only the second year they've done it. So they're and there was a lot more people this year than there was last year. And I think it will just keep growing and growing because it's not for one discipline. Like, they've got everything there. And being able to watch, I learned so much from everyone, and I can apply it to dressage. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a really, really cool experience. And, yeah, it's very fun.
I'm hoping to be in the crowd next year watching. Yeah. This is now my new aim.
It's so cool.
No, it looked absolutely fantastic and a really cool opportunity for you and Jimmy.
Definitely.
As well. Away from, you know, your normal dressage competitions.
Yeah.
And outings.
Yeah, definitely. It's really cool.
So not only do you have that fantastic like opportunity with Mastery of the Horse, but also later this year you have the Inter-School Nationals. You have qualified for?
Yes. Yeah, so we have just had the Inter-School Queensland State Championships, and I was riding in the small tour class, and Jimmy and I were lucky enough to win that. And so we have qualified, and we've accepted our position to go down to Werribee about 10 weeks to go compete at the Inter-School Nationals.
Wow, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what level are you competing at the Inter-Schools?
So that small tour, which is the pre-St. George, which is the same level as the young rider, but then the other test is the inter one, which is a step up from.
And do you want to explain kind of in terms of dressage where these classes sit, like what is the ranking and the level and where you kind of sit in the level of dressage?
Okay, so there's the three tour classes, which is small tour, medium tour and big tour. Big tour is the Grand Prix, which is like the end goal for any dressage rider. And I'm at small tour at the moment. I'm starting to look at going up to medium tour then big tour, but I don't know, I just don't feel like I've had Jimmy long enough. But yeah, so the small tour is the first FEI class that will be held at a CDI, which is an international show. And yeah, the medium tour is more of a qualifying sort of seeing where you're at to go up to the big tour. And yeah, and then obviously under the small tour, they've got all the advanced, medium, elementary, novice, prelim classes. So that's where.
Are they different dressage tests that you have to be, like, do you have to step up through the test to be able to ride at like pre-St. George or a medium?
Yeah, so you usually start at prelim with a young horse, and then there's different levels which get harder as you go up. And dressage is a sport that it's like, right, if you don't get it right from the beginning, when you get to Grand Prix, all the mistakes that you missed or the little bits you missed in prelim will show up. So, yeah, you've got to have good fundamentals right from the beginning and then work all the way up to Grand Prix through, each level. And then you do have to qualify depending on the competition. Like if it's an international show, you'll have certain qualifiers you need to get, but then there's like a time period too where you've got to get them.
And you're doing all this while still at school, obviously?
Yeah, I'm in grade 11 at the moment, so starting to see the end of the tunnel.
Got
but
a lot on your plate.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely prioritise horses though. But yeah, still got another year to go.
Yeah, and I guess when you are that young, now I sound old.
Showing your age again, Brian.
Giving advice now. When you are that young, the awesome thing, or what Bridget said before, was that she is having fun doing it. It's her passion. She wants to explore this, and she is achieving at very high level. And the opportunity she is taking, Bridget, with your friends or your peers, like, you guys are so young, how do you guys handle this, like, the pressure in terms of, like, prioritizing school and competing at this level?
Yeah, so I'm lucky to go to a school that offers so much support for me to keep doing what I'm doing. But because I've always been riding, I've sort of, like, horses are such a big commitment, and it's something that I've always been used to and working the rest of my life around horses. And, yeah, I'm very lucky to have such an amazing support team around me to help me with that. And my parents are amazing. And, yeah, the school is very good about letting me go off for weeks at a time to go and compete at these competitions. Obviously, there's an expectation that comes with that to do the schoolwork and stay on top of everything. But, yeah, I found that it's not overly hard for me just because I've always had that expectation of needing to stay committed to the horses while getting other things done. But, yeah, it's not without support.
Yeah, and that whole balance, because you want to explore a passion, you want to have fun doing it, but then you have that overarching education that you do require and that's expected of you. You said your parents are, like, obviously your number one supporters, and do you think, as you said before, your mum originally deep dived with Sen and really put you and Jimmy on track with the nutrition in your spaces, like around that 17 years of age, or that schooling year, what was your perspective of nutrition before your mum sort of was handling it? Like, is it in the spotlight? Is it something you see on social media, or
there's so many options for feed now, and yeah, it's something that my mum's always looked into more than me. But as I'm getting older and starting to understand how much of a vital part the horse nutrition takes on the performance, and with these podcasts I've been able to learn so much just from, like, listening to all the amazing information that we have available, and also, like, online researching. And so, yeah, I think as I've gotten older, I've come to realise, like, how many options there are, and it's not just different options. They're like, you've got to pick smartly and you've got to be sure of what you want to put into your horse. Because we've been through a few different feeds, and I didn't realise there's so many just different types of grains. Like,
yeah,
there's so many different types of just the same things. And I think that was the biggest part for me, was just realising that because they share the same label doesn't mean they're the same feed inside. And so, yeah, researching and understanding what the different parts that the horse needs has definitely been the most interesting to me.
And I know, like, for me anyway, what you learn as you're growing up with the horses and getting from, in my case, you know, pony club and friends and family and, oh, you should feed this and you should feed that, isn't, like, it always comes from a good place, but it's not always necessarily the right advice. I mean, what I was feeding 10 years ago would put Brian in a grave. and knowing what we know now, and nutrition is one of those things that change all the time, and, you know, that's what we do here at SEM. We adapt as well. We're not just, oh, well, this is the feed that we have today and it's going to be exactly the same 10 years down the track. Like, we evolve with the research and with how nutrition kind of evolves for the horse as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think the research that's going into it today keeps developing and the science keeps changing. But I think that's the only way we're all going to be able to move forward and get one horse at a time better nutrient and better what they're feeding, so they can have better performance, or not even necessarily perform better, just be happy for those who aren't high performance horses. And, yeah, that's giving all of us an opportunity to work with the science and the research and getting knowledge at the same time.
Yeah, 100%. Bridget, when you look at what you said, a happier horse will probably perform better.
Mm.
And if you can get that happiness or that behaviour right through the correct nutrition profiles according to the physiology of the horse or their body systems. So for anyone that's just joined us on this 109th episode of the Sen podcast, and you may know Bridget, and you're a first time listener. So just a brief overview. Sen Nutrition was born in 2014. Sen stands for Complete Equine Nutrition, but then we were known halfway through probably 2016, 2017 as Sen. And then where we started to develop our products around a reason why you will feed that particular product to the horse, not just for profit or not just because everyone else is feeding it. And there was a lot of education that went on back then, which has now flowed on into nearly every high-level discipline in the horse industry. And our ambassadors, they're not just paid out to say they like Sen. They actually were horse owners that use it and see the benefits and approach us to become part of the team and what we stand for. And I say it on nearly every podcast, if Sen wasn't doing the right thing by the horse, I don't think we would exist today. And we're still a local family-run company. Many of these other players are being bought out and turned corporatized, and we're here for the betterment of the horse to make the best quality products and have a reason why we feed. And that's what the Sen brand stands for. And we can't thank Bridget enough for her feedback and highlighting the fact that Jimmy is a better horse on Sen. And we're hoping that these achievements can continue, no pressure. But it's just another industry, like recently massive in endurance, and then the Western, and then with Guy McLean with his horsemanship. We just like on these podcasts to highlight the fact that it's adaptable. They're horses at the end of the day, and that we don't need 20 or 25 different feed bags with different colors. We've got our fully simplified feeding foundations, and they are the most effective for the horse. And when you do consult our team like Magellan, we can really adjust this to your specific environment, because all horses are individuals, just like humans. Certain foods will make us better, certain foods will make us worse, and we should really know our horses inside out, like Bridget knows with Jimmy, and is developing that partnership.
So Bridget, what are the plans for the future, with no pressure, obviously? But where would you like to see you and Jimmy, you know, say in the next 12 months or in the next few years? What's your end goal?
Yeah, so in about 10 weeks, I'm going down to Victoria, in the Southern Highlands first, and then down to Victoria for the Interschool Nationals and then the Australian Nationals. And that's where I'm starting to look at finishing my young rider journey with Jimmy there, and then possibly think about stepping up to the under 25 Grand Prix for next season. But yeah, as I said before, we're still such a new partnership, so I just want to see how everything goes first. But yeah, I think the end goal for me would definitely be going overseas. This is talking about a few years in the future. So going overseas, because Australia on the global scale isn't like top three in dressage. It's usually like eighth or ninth or something like that. And so I would really like to help improve that score for Australia. And to ride for Australia would be amazing on, any show. But with Jimmy, going up to the Grand Prix in the next few years and just learning myself about the high levels of dressage and how important it is to keep the horses happy, not just in training, but like during everyday life for them.
You know, the world is your oyster, and I'm sure if you keep going down the path that you're going, we'll be cheering you on here at Sen when we see you riding on the TV and representing Australia.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Which Olympics?
Oh, gosh. I think to ride at the Brisbane Olympics would be cool.
It'd be massive.
It'd be huge. Yeah. Anyway.
Gotta be there with our Sen banner.
Yeah, no, it's so important to have goals, even at any age. But for you, Bridget, we wish you all the best for the future and this immediate future with the Interschool Nationals and when you travel down to Victoria. But Jill, did you have anything?
Yeah, so Bridget, I've been meaning to ask, how did you get into horses? How did you get into dressage and then decide like this was what you were going to do to such a level as well?
So my mum's been riding her whole life, so it was guaranteed that I was going to be around horses. So I've been riding, I think I got my first horse when I was four, Poppy, which is a little Welsh mountain pony, and I started off in pony club, did every discipline, sporting, showing, dressage, show jumping. And then when I was about 12, I got an eventer, Robbie, and I took him up to one-star eventing. But I also did advanced dressage on him. So I did a few of the starting to look at the high levels of dressage with Robbie. And even though he was bred for polo, he was such a good all-rounder. And it was weird because we got him for eventing, but he made me find my passion for dressage. And so after that, I was like, right, Mum, I think dressage is it. I think dressage is a really cool thing to become involved in. And then, yeah, we went looking for a dressage horse. And it's really hard to find them here in Australia. Like, compared to Europe, they're long and far in between. So we ended up going over to New Zealand to see Jimmy. And, yeah, and I think that was one of the biggest things, too, about trying to find good balance for his feed for him was coming from New Zealand, which is so, so different to Queensland. And that was, yeah, that impacted him a lot when he first arrived because he's like, there's no grass. So, yeah, and I think that's another really good thing with Sen is how they were able to, or how you guys were able to cater for that need and helping him through that process of getting used to the Queensland weather and climate. But yeah, anyway, so we got Jimmy back from New Zealand, and then, yeah, from there I just started to get into the high levels of dressage because from the beginning, from when I first decided that I wanted to do dressage, I was like, right, got to have a goal, and the end goal for me is to compete at Grand Prix at big shows and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, and we are hearing it, obviously, from our Ashley Cole podcast a couple of episodes back now, that moving the horses from New Zealand especially is a massive change. Like,
yeah.
Over there they've got the grass and, from what she was saying, quite flat terrain as well. So
yeah,
that high fibre and balancing the nutrition is important for any horse, but when they are moving from such a different climate, it does show a difference that when they are lacking and when they do need the correct nutrition for that.
Yeah, definitely. And Jimmy was only at one place when he was in New Zealand, so he was used to the same grass, same hay, same feet his whole life. And he's 11 now, so that was – it's 11 years of his life, and then everything just changed for him. So, yeah, it was really important for us to find a good feed for him. And that took a while because we're like, right, the stuff we were using isn't working because we're just feeding him more and more feed and not much is happening. So, yeah, when we first realised that this Sen was an option – and all the research and science behind it, it was just like, why haven't we been using this? Like, we need to. And so, yeah, that's how it all
absolutely
happened.
And we are going to shout out to Lisa as well.
Yes, Lisa.
for talking to Mum and getting her on the Sen feed and pointing her and all you guys in our direction.
Lisa's and the information that you guys provide to us is insane. So it's been amazing for me too to learn about it all.
No, thanks. Thanks for that feedback, Bridget. We really enjoy, because it's our passion, to bring all our listeners as much information on why they're feeding their horse and, as you said, trying to simplify it but also feeding quality over quantity. It's actually going to save a lot of horse owners money if you have a more efficient digestion in your horse, and then obviously the flow-on effect is they're going to be happier and better in performance. And speaking of performance, I think you're at Willinga Park before. Actually, Magellan and I have actually stayed down at Willinga Park even last year when they had that gold buckle
camp event. Draft.
Yeah, and I think we did want to go to Dressage by the Sea, but we were quite busy in that April period, I think. March.
We're just always busy. This year has been absolutely crazy. But so going on from that, Bridget, it was not that long of a time period from when Jimmy came over from New Zealand to when you were going and competing at the CDI.
No, it was not long at all. It was like 1 month or something. And I think he was entered for the show before he had even arrived in the country. So
that's insane.
It was crazy. And Mum and I had always wanted to go to Willinga Park Dressage by the Sea. So we're like, right, this year we're going to go. Like, we don't have a horse yet, but that's okay. We're going to go. And the facilities at Willinga is just insane. So it was really cool to ride there. I'd only been working with Jimmy for like 1 month when we went to our first CDI together. So it was just an amazing experience just to see how everything happens. And then a few months later when we went to Sydney CDI and we had more of a partnership. And I think that really showed in the results alone how much we had grown together. And they're such big environments, the big shows, because they go on for like a week. And yeah, there's such big environments with all of the top riders around, and this was only like my second CDI, so I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. So it was really cool to have a successful show and still being so new with Jimmy. And yeah, I hope that we can go back again next year and have a better go.
Brian, looks like we're going to have a full year of dressage and Willinga.
Yes.
For our listeners that don't know about Willinga Park, it's absolutely breathtaking. It's it's a 2,300-acre park that is peppered with world-class architecturally designed equestrian facilities. When Magellan and I were there, I think the flies were going in our mouths. It was because we were just like, this is ridiculous, but amazing. The facilities is world-class, and it's out at Bawley Point. So we flew down to the Canberra airport and drove 2.5 hours east, and what an amazing experience. But if anyone wants to look up and have a look at like photos of Willinga Park, just go to their website, because it's
astonishing. Yeah. I don't think there's anything quite like it anywhere else in Australia.
There's definitely not. Yeah, just the architecture, and when you're walking around the grounds, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like incredible. And then to compete there is just, it's amazing, and it's not an opportunity that we really get anywhere else in Australia. So yeah, if you can go, I would recommend. I think you can even go just for like a weekend when there's nothing on.
Yeah, you can book accommodation and just stay at Willinga Park and walk around the gardens and see.
Yeah, and there's like a restaurant there and everything. It's amazing.
And I think one of the other highlights, Jelen, was when we were at a Western event and our dinner was nice fresh prawns and oysters.
Oysters and rum, Brian. Oh. Dinner of champions.
It was a fantastic time down there, and yeah, as Bridget said, it would be an experience for any horse rider or horse owner.
Definitely.
To check out the facilities. So Bridget, I think that wraps up this episode of the Send Nutrition Podcast. We really value your time for coming in, giving us your story. It hopefully brings some inspiration to our young riders, the listeners that we have as part of like using SEN. Thanks for being a great ambassador for us, and may it continue through the future. Is there anyone you'd like to like mention or thank?
My parents, definitely. My family, my whole support crew that I can take that come to shows. I couldn't do it without any of them. And of course, having the best feed for Jimmy and all the other horses at home. It's just, yeah, just to keeping him happy and looking more at longevity rather than the next show's results as well, which I think highlights both part of the SEN ability and where you guys take it. So it's, but yeah, definitely my parents, so much support, and yeah, my lovely Jimmy.
It's fantastic. You're so young but achieving so much. Like, it's a credit to you, and to also focus on school as well. It's just just really refreshing to see that you're achieving so much at a young age. Magellan, do you have any final thoughts?
Bridget, if there's one thing that you can pass on to young up-and-coming riders who have just started out and may not know where they're going, what's one piece of advice that you'd like to pass on to them?
I think you just have to enjoy the sport. Like, there's no point doing it if you're not enjoying it, because it's such a big commitment. And that's where I've been really lucky, because I've been enjoying it my whole journey. And that's not to say there haven't been hard times, because there definitely have been. But yeah, just keep enjoying it. And I think you have to understand that the horse doesn't really want to do a question. Like, it doesn't want to do a sport. It wants to stay in the paddock. So making the opportunities for the horse just to have the best time possible while you're riding it, and rewarding it, because they try so hard and give so much to us. So just enjoying it and staying happy and positive even with the small results, because that's how it's only going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Making a 500 kilo plus animal do what you want it to is a feat on its own.
Yeah.
So just getting out of that paddock and getting on and getting for a ride is a massive achievement in itself.
Yeah, and any goals you have, no matter how big or small it is, each step you take towards them, I think, is amazing. So, yeah, just keep enjoying it. Pat your horse.
Pat your horse. Yeah. I love that.
That's so good. So good, Bridget. Well, on that note, I think we'll leave it there. And thank you very much for coming. Thanks, Joel, for joining us on this one.
Mine now, Brian. Pete's not getting it back.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been really cool.
That's our pleasure. So if anyone is new to our podcast, we do have another 108 episodes that you might be able to deep dive and explore. We have some key podcasts on horse behavior, especially with Dr. Andrew McLean, which will give you a fascinating insight into the physiology, but also the reasons why a horse behaves like a horse. As Bridget touched on before, we're domesticating the horse. We're giving them something that is unnatural to them. They are not a predator. They are actually a flight animal because they got the eyes in the side of their head. So they're always looking out for something, or maybe a lion or something that's going to be a predator to them. So we have to give them the safety and the comfort to know that we are on their side, and then they will reflect how we feel. And also, if you do enjoy our podcast, Spotify and Apple have a new review section on the podcast app. So we'd be grateful if you guys could leave a 5 stars or some great feedback. But we really appreciate everyone for all their support. Appreciate Bridget for coming, and Magellan also. And we will be back with another podcast, probably with Peter, next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.